Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
And welcome back again to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave, alongside Joseph J., Trisha, Eric, and Kathleen. This is a great song. I think Edward G. Robinson sang this? No.
Who? James Cagney.
Yeah, James Cagney. But I don't think this is James Cagney, but I like the James Cagney version. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, James Cagney.
And, of course, if anyone wants to participate in the discussion about the Purge and implementing an annual Purge, pros and cons, give us a call, 602-252-1480. Again, 602-252-1480. And if you need, we'll announce that again, because I know we've got people on Periscope as well wanting to participate in the conversation, so you can also join us on Periscope to tell us your thoughts on implementing an annual Purge. So, before we get any further, yes, that was James Cagney, Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Oh, that was James Cagney.
Yes.
Oh.
Yankee Doodle Dandy, and we've got Dr. James Howard joining us right now here on Breakthrough Entertainment to tell us a little bit about the pros and cons of implementing an annual Purge. Dr. Howard, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And so first of all, tell us a little bit about your background.
So, I have a PhD in public policy, I actually teach mathematics of all things. When it came to this, one of the things I think is interesting about the Purge is how it follows up on a lot of earlier media that we see similar ideas implemented, something like the Hunger Games or an old Star Trek episode, for instance, called The Return of the Archons, and those sorts of things.
Okay. Very good. And so have you seen the new Purge film?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay, but you have seen some of the others.
Yes.
Okay. And so, in your opinion, are there any pros of implementing an annual Purge?
No, absolutely none whatsoever.
Okay.
There's absolutely no good news in any of this. This is a slasher film. It's not meant to have a premise that you could actually follow up on.
But Dr. Howard, this is Dave, and thank you for being on the show. Let me ask you this. To me, this third one especially had a lot of symbolism, even though there may not be in reality here, obviously in the United States, an actual purge through killing people. However, I think there's other ways people can be purged out of the system. Do you think that's happening in today's America?
I think that sometimes you actually do see something like this happen. I think you see after a sports team in a city wins or loses a championship. You see a party in the street that frequently gets out of control. I think you see that associated, I'm mildly concerned about some of the protests getting out of control with regard to both the forthcoming political convention.
We had that in Arizona.
But part of the idea in the movie is that this provides an annual release and then everyone is good for the next year. And we just don't see that. When you have a riot and following a sports victory, or like I said, loss, you don't see that same kind of, you obviously don't see the same kind of giant melee afterwards. You do see crime doesn't come down afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more in terms of certain laws on the books that may favor wealthy people. You hear about the middle classes sort of disappearing. It's either going to be the super wealthy or everyone's on the bottom of the totem pole. So, I more towards that. Do you see that as a reflection in this movie?
Now remember, he didn't see this.
He
didn't see this movie. The premise of this movie is that one of the people who's running for election is talking about the fact that the purge, when people were purging, the people who were getting killed and getting affected the worst were the less wealthy, more underprivileged people who could not protect themselves or their businesses from this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, that idea is explored extensively in the first film in two different ways. The first one is that you have part of the expository nature of the first film is you have people talking through television commentary as the events are happening and before and after. And they discuss that there are those protests happening, saying that this is something that disproportionately affects the poor while the rich are protected. And then you see that same dialogue when they're chasing the homeless man, which is kind of the main plot point of the movie.
Right.
I think that whether or not you can look at whether or not the laws are set up this way, sometimes, yes, there is a tendency because wealthy people have a tendency to have more power in making laws, therefore the laws tend to favor them. But sometimes it's just not always that clear cut. One of the things that I've actually done some research on has to do with flood insurance. And one of the things you see is that when floods happen or other natural disasters, the people who are disproportionately affected are those who don't have the ability to prevent the disaster from happening. So you see richer communities are less likely to be flooded, not because they are able to protect themselves, but because those communities became wealthy and purchased that land decades or even centuries ago and were protected then when there were no, you know, anything other than a natural barrier. And then those who didn't have the means to do that were forced to live in places which may not have been as safe.
Now, I want to remind our listeners that we are speaking with Dr. James Howard about the pros and, well, basically the cons of implementing an annual purge and all the different things that go along with that. By the way, you can join in on the discussion on our Periscope feed. We do have several people who are weighing in on this on Periscope, and Jordan is saying that this is very, you know, very good discussion. And so you can also give us a call at 602-252-1480. Again, if you have any comments on implementing the annual purge, 602-252-1480.
Now, Dr. Howard, there's been finish this one. I think, you know, sadly in the past there have been countries or certain governments that, and currently in today's time too, that do something similar. They want to get rid of a certain group of people, and would that be considered a purge?
I don't suppose. Well, I mean, if you're looking at something like the events of Nazi Germany or Rwanda in the 90s or something like that.
Right.
Or, I mean, in a sense, yes. But in those cases, those are driven, in many ways, these are racist affairs. In those cases, they're driven more by race than they are about social class. But at the same time, they are also driven by economics. People who are wealthy don't have a tendency to go out and do these sorts of things. And that's because a lot of ways, crime is a way for someone who doesn't have access to means has the ability to get through the day. And that's unfortunate, but that's just sometimes the way things are, which is why you feel in countries with better social safety nets. Now, that said, you know, when the system completely breaks down, as you had in, say, Rwanda during the 1990s, or the former Yugoslavian Republic, also in the 1990s, that's where, you know, it becomes truly everyone for themselves, and people do whatever it is and whatever it takes to get through the day.
Now, one of the things that I felt I took home from this movie, and I wanted to find out what your feelings are on this, is they're claiming that when they have this 12 hours of lawlessness where you can do any of your basest instincts, killing people, murdering people, breaking things, whatever, that's then supposed to tide you over and cleanse you and have you be, like you said, 364 four and a half days of normalcy. But what I saw in that, especially in The Candy Girl, was that it seems like it almost becomes like they become numb to any of this stuff. And so when I was looking at her, it was just kind of like, I think she spent the whole year planning what she was going to do horrific on that day. And
well,
feel like it was a cleansing at all.
You hear that in some of the voiceovers where there was a call-in show, not dissimilar to this one, where somebody was talking about somebody they were planning to get and had been planning to get for some time. You see that, and in addition to that, there's an almost ritualistic or religious approach to it. There's a chant and a mantra that goes along with the act that is part of that whole cleansing, but in a lot of ways, I mean, it covers for the fact that there's something terribly wrong going on here. So, you know, I don't think that that sort of, it doesn't serve as, I mean, empirically we can see that that doesn't happen. But I think even within the framework of the story, it doesn't actually hold up.
Right, exactly. Well, and then I did like, though, is his name Carlos' character?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. When he was assisting Joe during the purge, and Joe goes, wow, where did you learn that? And he said, growing up in Juarez, every day was like the purge.
Surviving the purge, yeah.
Yeah, and so you know, I think that spoke volumes to me, because I thought, how blessed and lucky are we to live in a country where, yeah, it doesn't mean terrible things don't happen, but it's not an everyday occurrence like it is in some of the other parts of the country, where regardless of whether you're involved in what's going on or not, you're submersed in it or immersed in it, where
the
you can't
of law
really
is a beautiful
get
thing. I mean, the rule of law really is a beautiful thing. And I mean, one of the things I often have to tell people is it turns out most people just aren't trying to kill us all, which is why you don't see, you know, as much crime as you maybe think you would. I mean, when you have a situation where the society is driven to commit crime as a manner of getting through the day, that's one thing. But in general, when you have a system where, you know, there is a rule of law, people can settle their disputes, if not amicably, at least peacefully in a courtroom or through elections, it doesn't happen like that. And as long as we can all get through the system, get through, you know, the election or whatever process it is, and accept the outcome, then these sorts of violent outbursts do not become the norm.
So what do you think about the political atmosphere that we have this year? It seems like there's much more violence and aggression, physicality, not just the vitriol that you normally get in the verbal sparring between the parties and the candidates, but this is their supporters. I mean, their supporters are going out and just becoming so, I don't know, just it just seems like this year, it's even more so than previous years. What do you feel about that?
I don't have any information about whether or not it actually is worse. What I feel like is, given, you know, I've lived through I don't know how many presidential elections now, but I feel like when these sorts of things happen, the vitriol doesn't actually seem to be as bad as it has been. And the actual violence, I think, is just better covered because we have, you know, more 24-hour news channels. We have social media able to film. I mean, everyone has a camera and a film crew. Everyone is their own film crew now, and they can tape it and get it online within minutes of it happening. And then the story is raw and unfiltered, and it's not being vetted, and it's not being analyzed, and it's not being put into any context. So I think that it's not necessarily that it's more, although it may be, but it's certainly being told very differently this year.
Well, and you know, as you were mentioning that about being on camera, and I see how having the Periscope camera in studio, how it affects Joseph's behavior and how it affected the Candy Girls when she knew she was on the camera, she was playing to the camera. I just think that really speaks volumes to how we all behave when we know that we may become infamous, like on YouTube or whatever. But excellent.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Dr. James Howard, for telling us a little bit about the cons of implementing an annual purge. We really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today and your insight.
And you have a beautiful day.
You too, and happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was great insight, great discussion.
Right, and after, by the way, this is James Cagney again with your grand old flag, and we're going to come right back with some guests that want to talk more about the purge.
Because this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live, 1480 AM, KPHX.
Woohoo!
We'll be right back.